live today. This is a live call and radio broadcast where you can call in your question and we go to God's Word for the answer. We know that many of you have been listening week after week, and possibly year after year. We've been on the air for some time. I just want to say to those who have been listening faithfully that we do appreciate your good attention and do hope that the things that we've shared with you over a period of time has been a help to you, that it has increased your knowledge in the things of God, that you have taken more interest in going into God's Word to see exactly what it says concerning the things of God. We hope that we've encouraged you in that, and that you've not taken our word for it, but that you are the type of person that will diligently seek out the things of God from His Word, that your faith may rest not in man, but in the power of God. And so that is our hope, that is our prayer, and our encouragement to you, yes, even this hour and a half or so that we have to be together. Again, this is a live call-in radio broadcast, you calling your questions. The number to call right now is 308-9564. That's the number here at the station to call in your question. Again, it's 308-9564.
So now's your opportunity. The lines are available, and you're welcome to have the first voice call if you would like to join us. Call 308-9564. That is the voice line, and both lines are available. Now, there's another way you can communicate. If you have a cell phone or access to the Internet, you can text us your question at 725-9283. All of our phone numbers are area code 843, so keep that in mind. And you can text us at 725-9283. Or if you have access to a computer and you go online, you can go to our website, which is at www.biblealone.com. And you can text us from that home page right there, that front page. And just down at the bottom, there's a block where you can type in your question, and it will also be sent here to the studio, and we can answer it on today's broadcast. And by the way, if you have friends or relatives or people that you love and would love to have them to also benefit from this program, then you can contact them and put them on to help them to get to our website, which is BibleAlone.com, and they can listen to the program anywhere in the world through the website. And so make certain that you contact them and let them know about the program that it is going on right now. So there's a couple of ways that you can communicate. There's the voice line, which is 308-9564, and we will be glad to answer your question. Either you can have it written down and brought into us, or you can go live over the air. Now, if you want to go live, we want to ask you to be ready to turn your radio down, and we want to know your name so that we can address you by name and be polite. And so that is the two ways, through the voice line, and then there are many accesses to the text line, which is, if you have a cell phone, area code 843-725-9283. We're looking forward to your questions, and we're looking forward to helping you to find the answers directly from the Bible. And thus, the name of this program is Let the Bible Speak. So get your Bibles ready, get your paper ready, and pen or pencil to write down the answers, write down the references, and then we will direct you to book, chapter, and verse in God's Word. Again, there's one line now available, 308-9564. And the text line is getting active. That is 725-9283. We're looking forward for your questions, and we're looking forward to God Himself answering through His Word the questions that are on your mind. Sandra called in a question last week that we couldn't get to, and Sandra, I hope you are tuned in again today. We promised you we would answer the question. Her question is based upon Psalm 68 and verse 17, where it references the chariots of God. No, it's not just a movie. It is a passage of Scripture. In Psalm 68 and verse 17, it says, "The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of thousands. The Lord is among them as in Sinai and in the holy place." And she wants to know, what does this mean? And so when you look at the passage, it does reference that. Sandra, did you know that whenever you see the phrase in the Bible, "the Lord of hosts," which is many, many times, dozens and dozens of times throughout the Bible, God is referred to as the Lord of hosts? Well, that's referring to the same thing, because the angels of God are referred to as an army many times and functioning that way. And so when you look and see the innumerable company of angels that are at God's disposal, the Lord is the Lord over them, the Lord of hosts. And so whenever you see that phrase referring to God, the Lord of hosts, that means God as functioning as commander and general over his forces, which are the army or the angels of God, in battle array and ready to do his bidding. And so, and by the way, those of y'all that want to know how powerful an angel is, it only took one angel to destroy a whole army of thousands in one night. So when you consider how many are at his beck and call, then that is quite an army indeed. And so, Xandra, I hope that's helpful to you. Pay attention as you read. And so whenever you see the Lord of hosts, that's what it's talking about. And, of course, they're in a figurative sense, it seems, talking about them being in chariots and the number of them being thousands of thousands. And so Psalm 68, verse 17. Thank you so much for your question. The questions are coming in, so we will get busy. Remember, you can call your voice at 308-9564. That's our voice line. Or you can text us at 725-9283. Nick, you have a question?
We do. We have a text question coming in. The last three digits is 883. It says, how long did Adam and Eve stay in the Garden of Eden until they were banished? Well, the Bible doesn't give us that time period of how long they were in the garden period. And concerning the time of it, you know, if we're saying from the time they sin until they were banished, we do have a snapshot of what may be the case of as far as how long they stayed in the garden after they sinned. What God told them in the book of Genesis, Genesis 1, God was very clear, and actually that's Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. In verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So as far as I can tell from the scriptures, that they would have been banished the day that they ate of the tree, the forbidden fruit. And so that would have been that day. He says that in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. We know they did not die physically. The word death carries with the idea of separation. They were separated from God. I hope that's helpful to you, but very good question. I don't think we've had that question on this broadcast. If you join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564. As was mentioned earlier, if you wish to send us a text question, the text line is available to you. And again, that text number is 725-9283. Again, that's 725-9283. We encourage you to continue to search the scriptures as we go throughout the course of this broadcast and make sure the things that we're saying are, in fact, so. The passage that we use all the time is Romans 10, 17. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, the Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we're giving you scriptures. Please go and check us out. If you're driving, maybe there's someone in the car with you. Maybe they can write down those passages that we're giving and that you can go and check it out at a later time. But this is absolutely our encouragement. Not as a matter of pride about ourselves, but it's for your own soul's sake. Don't place your soul in anyone else's care. Place it in Jesus' care, and then you're responsible for taking care of your soul as well. 308-9564.
We have a question from Pat. Pat wants to know, what do you do when your parents continually do wrong by you? And do you keep forgiving them? Do you ever reach a point to where you walk away? Well, first of all, about forgiveness, God would have us to know that we should forgive. There was at one point in Matthew chapter 18 where Peter came to him and says, Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother's sin against me? And I forgive him up to seven times. And the Lord, of course, as you probably know, the Lord says, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. And he points out there that would just be a continual process. If someone is seeking forgiveness, we should forgive. Now, if obviously there is no repentance and obviously there is a problem developing, then we have to figure out a way to we must understand how that we do not want to enable someone doing what is wrong. In the story of the prodigal son, in reference to how that the prodigal son went off and he was found himself in a pig pen, then he was we do not see the father, his dad, going to rescue him out of those circumstances, nor seeking to try and recover his son, but rather let him come to his own senses and wallow in his own situation to where that he had to learn those life lessons on their own. So you don't want to pad their pig pen or be in fellowship or participate in someone's wrongdoing, because then you are guilty of their evil deeds. So that would be something to consider as well. But as far as them sincerely seeking forgiveness, we must forgive, and then we also must monitor whether we are participating in that which is wrong. So it's time for us to take our first break. We want you to know, Pat, thank you so much for your question, and I hope and pray that situation will get better. But just remember, we should always be ready, willing, and eager to forgive when someone is sincerely seeking forgiveness. But at the same time, we do not want to participate in someone's wrongdoing or having fellowship with that. So hopefully that's helpful, Pat. Thank you so much for your question, and thank you for listening today. It's time for us to take our first break. While we are at break, we want you to know that you can continue to call in your questions, and we do want you to know that we're offering to you a free Bible correspondence course. And yes, I said free. Everything we offer is free. Everything that Jesus offered is free. And so what we need to do is to do the same thing that Jesus did. So please do not send us your tithes and offerings. Matter of fact, let us send you treasure, a treasure that will never be taken away, that it will be invested in heaven. And here are the details on that. But now while we are at break, you can continue to call in your questions. The voice line is 308-9564. The text line is 725-9283. We'll be right back. We are back live now, and we're glad that you're with us. We hope and pray that you are going to be blessed, if not already, from the reading and teaching from God's Word today. We do not want you to hear us. We want you to look these things up in God's Word and make certain that they are right. Whenever your questions come in, if we do not give you book, chapter, and verse, you will be our friend to rebuke us, to stop us, and say, show us the answer, don't tell us the answer, and we will thank you for that admonition. Thank you for your participation today. We look forward to your questions. And the number to call your questions in right now is 308-9564. You are to be commended that you would listen to this program, that you have a desire to know what God says in His Word. And we are honored to be able to assist you to be able to find the answers directly from His Word. You know, ladies and gentlemen, when we stand before God in judgment one day, we're not going to be judged by what went on in church. And that is, unless we're doing something wrong, which would be sinful. But the church is not the authority. The preachers are not the authority that we're going to be judged by. Our family is not going to be the authority that we're going to be judged by as far as our eternal destination. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be judged by, in accord with, the Word of God, what Jesus has told us to be and to do. And so if we do not find the answers in His Word, then it's not going to go good for us. If we have been following or giving allegiance to some other authority, some other source, well, it's not going to go good for us. Jesus, I can just hear Him saying, as He's already said in His Word, why call me Lord and do not the things that I say to you? Or, if you love me, keep my commandments. You see, if He is Lord, then that means we are to give total, complete, entire submission to Him. And the only way we can do that is to listen to Him in the first place. And so as we look into His Word, then when we learn it, we can decide whether we're going to do it or not. And we will be judged accordingly by Him Himself one day. So if we don't even know what he says, how can we be doing what he says? That's the purpose of this program, to let the Bible speak. So now's your opportunity to call in your question to find out, what does God say on the question that is on your heart, or the dilemma that's in your life right now, or the decisions that you're having to make as far as life and godliness? The answers are in the Word, because all things that pertain to life and godliness are contained in His Word through the knowledge of Him who's called us according to glory and glory virtues. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. So let's go to the Bible, let the Bible speak. So now's your chance. The lines are available, 308-9564. The text line is 725-9283. Now's your chance to get the Bible answer to the questions on your heart. Nick, you have a question?
Yes, we have a text question that comes in. The texter says, is asking a question about pornography. Says, what about the viewing of pornography within a married couple, or I guess within a marriage? Well, and I think we could probably answer the question by not even including the marriage. The real question is, what about viewing pornography? And I think when you look at it that way, it makes it pretty clear, because they're asking the question whether it's okay to view pornography, whether you're married or not married. What is pornography? Well, we get our word pornography or porno from the word fornication. The Greek word fornication is porneia. And so our English word porno, pornography, comes from that word fornication, or the Greek word fornication, which is porneia, which means sexual immorality. Does pornography falls into the category of sexual immorality? Well, it does. It is sexual wickedness. It is unauthorized sexual activity. And so, one, it would be wrong for a person to participate in that, and then it would be likewise wrong for a person to condone it. And such pornography is designed in such a way to generate lust. Well, what does the Bible say about that? Notice what the Bible says in the book of 1 John, 1 John chapter 2. In verse 15, it says, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. Verse 17 says, and the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of the Father or the will of God abides forever. It certainly is clear that lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, that is not the will of the Father. And then another passage that may be helpful is simply Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28, the Bible says, but I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And so oftentimes when we think about pornography, it causes or generates lust. That's the very purpose behind it. And thus, if a person engages in that kind of behavior, they are engaging in sexual morality. They are engaging in sin. And that's not what a godly person should do. So whether you're married or not married, it would be inappropriate for any professing Christian to look at pornography, because the actual process by which that's happening in pornography, that's sin. And then to condone it, well, that's sin as well. I hope that's helpful to you. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. Ricky, I think you had a comment?
Yes, and there's another word there that we don't commonly use today. That's the Greek, the word lasciviousness. And most translations translate that into the word wantonness. And it literally has the idea of sexual excitement that is wrong. And so any kind of sexual activity, lasciviousness could be done simply by someone walking down the street, by the way someone dresses, where that sexual excitement is actually caused outside between others than a rightly married husband and wife. And that is the word lasciviousness, wantonness, and that is also a lust of the flesh. It is condemned that they that do such things are worthy of death.
In Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, When the Bible talks about the works of the flesh, it says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, and lewdness. And that's our word, lasciviousness. It's lewdness, lasciviousness, and it goes on to list several other items that fall into the categories of the work of the flesh. And in this text, he's contrasting the works of the flesh by contrast to the fruit of the Spirit. And he says the fruit of the Spirit, by contrast, is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's long-suffering, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, it's gentleness, it's self-control. Against such, there is no law. And so the idea for the child of God is that they are trying to have the fruit of the Spirit. In verse 24, it goes on to say, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desire.
We are about to come up to our next break. We want you to know that if you have friends or relatives that you would like to be able to tune in to this radio broadcast, if they have a smartphone, they can actually use their phone to download an app called TuneIn Radio and thus then search out this radio station, which is WJNI here FM in Charleston, and they can join us right now via their smartphone through TuneIn Radio app. You can also get be able to pick up this anywhere in the world using our website, which is www.BibleAlone.com. So let your friends and relatives that are in other parts of the world know about this so they can also join us, and they can tune in that way through our website, and then they can also send us text from anywhere in the world via our website as well. There's a square at the bottom where they can type in that text question, and it will come directly to us here at the studio. And we want you to know that we're trying to make it as easy for you to find the truth as possible. Now, we're about to tell you about the Bible Correspondence Course. We literally have over 3,000 of you that are enrolled in Bible Correspondence Courses in this area, and we are happy to be able to send this all to you absolutely free. We have done this for years now, and we're glad to be able to continue to do this to help you to find some things in God's Word that the religious establishment is not alerting you to. You see, if you're part of a church, or maybe you were taught by a particular mainstream church or denomination, they must operate from within a doctrinal box that identifies them with that denominational set of beliefs. Well, the Bible brings out that there is one Lord, one faith that we should have, Ephesians 4 and verse 5, and that we should be following the one Lord who is Jesus Christ. No, not us, not the church leaders, no one else. Jesus is Lord. Matter of fact, he said, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. So how are we going to make certain we're listening to him and his authority? Well, we've just got to let the Bible speak. And so if you go through this Bible course, I guarantee you, if you really are diligent in your studies, you will discover things in God's Word that you have never heard before. Did you hear me that? Yeah, you think you have many people. Man sitting right in front of me, matter of fact, right now. He had been reading through, and he'd already gone all the way through the Bible. And yet, after going through the course, he said, I never saw those things before. Because the God of this world has put blinders on the religious elite of this world, just like they were around Jesus' time, and it was the religious elite that crucified the Son of God. So if the religious elite of his day could do such a horrible thing, can you imagine what the devil is causing the religious elite to do today? So let's take the blinders off. Why not enroll in this Bible Correspondence Course? Here's the details on it. All you have to do is call 553-5157, and you can leave your name and address, and we will get that in the mail to you even this week. So don't miss out on this. Here's the details on it. If you're already one of our students, go ahead and call in your question, 308-9564. We have Chuck standing by, and he's just standing by waiting on your phone call. So call in your question to 308-9564. We'll be right back. You got a question? Oh, we're back live again. I kind of snuck up on us there. We are, this is the live broadcast, and so we're waiting for your questions, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. The number 308-9564, that is the voice line, or you can text us at 725-9283. We want you to be aware of that the Bible correspondence course that we send to you in the mail is absolutely free, and we are happy to send that to you. And if you take that and you go and you get it in the mail, it will do you no good whatsoever to just let it lay on the table or wherever you put your stack of mail unless you take it, open it up, and read it. But there again, it won't do you any good until you not only read it, but read what God says and read the verses of Scripture. And then when you believe those things, well, Ephesians chapter 3 tells us that, and to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. And so when we read it and believe it and act on it, oh, things are going to change for the better. So why not go ahead and get that started in your life so that you do not find yourself in the circumstance that Jesus talked about individuals in Matthew chapter 7. He says in Matthew 7 and verse 21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name? Have I not cast out demons in thy name and in thy name done many wonders? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Whoa, there were religious folks whom Jesus sent away, saying, I do not know you. So how are we going to make certain that he knows us? Well, it depends on if we know him. We must submit totally to him as Lord and Master. And then we begin that journey of how to walk with him. We hope and pray that you will avail yourself of that correspondence course. 308. The correspondence course is at 553-5157. That's the number to get the Bible correspondence course, 553-5157. Now, if you have a question you want to call in right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. That's the voice line. Both lines are available, 308-9564. Or if you'd rather text with your cell phone, that is 725-9283.
Yeah, you know, during the break, we were talking about this phrase called the God of this world. And I was curious about whether or not our listeners understood who that really is. There's a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and the Bible talks about the God of this age or the God of this world. In verse 3, it says, Paul says, but even if our gospel is veiled or hidden, is the idea. He says it is veiled or hidden to those who are perishing. Verse 4, whose minds the God of this world has blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. And I know that to some degree when we think of God of this world, we just think of God because God created the world. But while he created the world, the idea of the God of this world, the one whose influence is running rampant, is talking about Satan. And what Satan is trying to do is hide the message of the gospel from us. And so we cannot allow Satan to blind us. And that's what he wants to do. We have to remove the veil. We have to get into God's word ourselves because Satan's going to try to do everything he can to prevent that from occurring. And one of the ways you can do that is by taking advantage of the Bible correspondence course that was just we just talked about. That can help you start to study on your own, can help you get a closer relationship with God because you'll come to know him. And that's what's the most important thing. You have to come to know God. Again, if you're interested in the Bible correspondence course, we want to encourage you to go ahead and call 553-5157 and sign up for it. Again, that number is 553-5157. Join us here at the station with your question. Go ahead and call 308-9564. That's 308-9564. And we will do our best to just let the Bible speak. Now, if you prefer to text in your question, again, we have that text line. It is ready to go. That number is 725-9283. 725-9283. Now, throughout the course of this broadcast, if you've been listening, and maybe you've listened over the years, and you've not gotten motivated to do anything just yet, maybe you're at the point where you would prefer, instead of a Bible correspondence course, but for someone to come and meet you in person, to sit down and study with you and your family, or you and a group of friends. If that is something that you are interested in, then you can call that 553-5157 number, leave a message, and we will make ourselves available to try to study with you and a group of your friends and family in your home, give you the opportunity to ask questions, but also talk to you about the gospel that the God of this age is trying to hide from everyone. And so then this will be an opportunity not just for you, but again for your loved ones, if that is something that you're interested in. Go ahead and call 553-5157 and leave a message that you're interested in having someone come out and sit down and study with you and your friends and family, and we'll try to schedule something. Again, that's 553-5157. To join us right now at the station, go ahead and call 308-9564. Again, that number is 308-9564.
We have another way for you to communicate would be the text line. If you have a cell phone, that's 725-9283. And you can text us your question, and we will go to the Bible for the question. Today is kind of a unique situation in that this is the first Sunday of the month. And from the interaction with many of you, it's my understanding that many churches out there offer the Lord's Supper only once a month, and usually on the first Sunday of the month. There's a whole number of different denominations that we have seen that is true of. Now, when you look and compare that with what the Bible says, you might be surprised. First of all, that we are to have the Lord's Supper. There are many churches that do not practice it at all. But when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, not only did they practice it, but it was commanded. Quoting Jesus in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 24, says that when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now the phrase, take, eat, and do this, would you say that is a command or a suggestion? Now, I agree, that would be a command, do this. And then when you see the next verse, it says, this is the cup. Jesus said, this is the cup of the new covenant. This do. All right. Command or a suggestion? I agree that it is a command. Now, the next phrase is interesting. It says, this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So he uses the word often there. Then the next verse says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come. So this passage truly does not tell them how often to do it. I wholeheartedly agree that it's not recorded in this passage. However, when you look a little bit closer, and go all the way back to verse 1, we see the writer, Paul, God using him to write this, says, imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. Okay, so Paul says you need to do what I do as I do what Christ wants me to do. Okay, well, and that's not the only place he says that. When you look in Philippians 3 and verse 17, God, again, through Paul, says, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. So we see there that he tells us that we're supposed to do what he was doing. And that example was going to be replicated by all. So now we've got a whole new way to search out this question. What did they do? What did Paul do as far as how often they partook of the Lord's Supper? Well, you don't have to look too far because you'll find that in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. Now, hopefully, if you have a Bible in front of me, that you will open it up and read it with me. And the reason I want you to do that is because I want to mess the verse up. I want to change it, and I'm letting you know before I do it because I'm not trying to mislead you. I'm trying to let you see how obvious God's Word is. And so in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, I'm going to read and I'm going to change one word. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. It says, "Now on the first day of the year, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight." So if that verse had said year, now as you know, it didn't say year. But if the verse had said year, and they would have come together to break bread on that day, how often would they have come together to break bread? I agree, once a year. What if the verse had said, "Now on the first day of the month, when the disciples came together to break bread," how often would we conclude that they would have come together to break bread? I agree, once a month. But the verse does not say year. It does not say month. It does not say the first Sunday of the month. What does it say? It says, "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, continued his message to midnight." So we see there clearly that this event of breaking bread, the Lord's Supper, was a weekly occurrence. And it was to be done on a particular day of the week. It was not the seventh day. It was not the third day. It was the first day of the week. Just like all the way through the Bible, they were supposed to always give their first fruits. The first fruits were the only ones that were going to be acceptable to God. And thus, this worship and communion with God was to be done on the first day of the week. So those of you that have participated only once a month in the communion, and if that was today, then guess what? That's not what God wants us to do. He wants it to be a weekly occurrence, not a monthly occurrence. Again, those verses were 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 27, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17, 3:17, and while you're writing that down, go ahead and put 4:9. I didn't read it, but it says the same thing. And then lastly, that records the frequency, Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. Hopefully that'll be helpful to you. That is something that many religious folks today do, and it's only done once a month, but that is not, could not be even further from the truth. It was supposed to be weekly on the first day of the week. Thank you so much for listening. We hope and pray that the questions are helpful to you. It's time for us to take our next break. While we are at break, continue to call in your questions, 308-9564. We'll be right back. We are back live now. We're so glad that you can join us as we look into the Bible for the answers. We hope and pray that this is going to be a blessing to you. Be sure to remember to enroll in this course if you never have. It is something that you will be blessed with because you're going to the Bible for the answers. So don't miss out on this. Again, that number for the Bible Correspondence Course is 553-5157, 553-5157. I don't think you'll get a busy signal, so you can go ahead and call, and you'll be able to get through and leave your information. And we've also mentioned today already once, and we want you to be remember this. If you would like to host a session where we sit down in front of you and answer questions for you and your friends, then what all you need to do is also ask for that and you will receive. Ask and you will we'll be able to call you back and make those arrangements to where that can occur. So you can also call and ask for that, 553-5157, and we will see to it that we can make those arrangements at a time convenient for you. And we'll have a study together with you and your friends, and we're happy to try and make that happen. Again, that number, 553-5157. Now, the voice line is available if you want to call in your question right now, 308-9564.
Okay. We have a text question coming in, the last three digits, 084. The question is about Judas. It says, "Though Judas repented and was remorseful for his betrayal of Jesus, is he condemned to hell for hanging himself?" Well, the text that shows us where that, in fact, seemingly he was remorseful is Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27, verses 3 through 5 says, "Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. Verse 4, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. So what's clear is that he was absolutely remorseful. And this sounds like repentance when he says that I have sinned and betrayed the blood of an innocent man. So that's not up for question. The real question is it okay for you, me, or anyone to hang ourselves? Is it okay for us to take our lives? And there's just not a passage of scripture in the Bible that would allow us to take a life unlawfully. There's a passage in the book of James chapter 2, verse 11 and 12 says, for he who says do not commit adultery also says do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. And, you know, murder, as far as I can understand out of scripture, this is the unlawful taking of a life. And so there's no passage of scripture that tells us it is lawful for us to take our own life. Now, you can also contrast this by another betrayer of Jesus and what he did. So if we go back to Matthew 20:27, we see Judas. And just in chapter 26, just above where Judas does his thing, you have Peter. And the Bible shows that Peter betrayed Jesus three times. And upon his third betrayal of Jesus, where he rejected Jesus, notice what the Bible says in verse 75. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So he went out and wept bitterly. He likewise was impacted by his sin. Yet the impact of his sin did not cause him to go out and take his life. And so to say that Judas took his life, but he repented. You can look at a person who betrayed Jesus just like Judas did, but it did not cause him to take his life. I think that's helpful to just compare the two. In fact, Peter went on later to be used mightily by God to proclaim the message of the gospel. In fact, he was given the keys to the kingdom, according to Matthew chapter 16, verses 16 through 18. I hope that's been helpful. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564.
Our text line is also available, 725-9283. Please don't miss out on getting your question in. Had a call just come in, wanted to know, what were the scriptures did you use for communion? Okay, here I go again. I'll recite them. In First Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 27. Then also, as far as finding out how often, we looked at chapter 11 and verse 1, where Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Philippians 3, 17, same thing. Philippians 4, verse 9, same thing. So we're to follow his example. So to find out what that example looks like, you go to Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, and we see that he and they practiced the communion on the first day of the, not the year, first day of the, not the month, but the first day of the week. And that occurs every 7 days. That would be what we call Sunday, and according to our calendar, but they didn't have our calendar back then. They just called it the first day of the week. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. Thank you so much for your question. Hopefully you wrote those down. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's our voice line, 308-9564. And we are glad to be able to get your question, and we'll be glad to go to the Bible for the answer. Nick, do you have another question here?
Yes, I think we got another question that came in, a text question that came in about Easter. The last three digits is 412. Says, is it right to celebrate Easter? Well, when we talk about holidays, holidays are just holidays. And so one holiday is just like the next. But when we start talking about religious holidays, and we're saying that if we begin to say that I'm doing this in according to what the Bible says, then I have to go to the Bible for the rules or for the answers along that line. So the word Easter is only used one time in the King James translation. So in the King James translation, you find the word in Acts chapter 12, verse 4, and it talks about this word Easter. It says, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers to keep him intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Now, that word Easter that's translated there is translated every place else in the Bible as the word Passover. It's only translated here as Easter. So if we were to go back to the Greek word that's translated here, it's the same Greek word that's translated as Passover. And so there is no Bible word Easter the way we think of it. That doesn't exist. The word is Passover, and that's what they had. And that was a Jewish holiday. And we don't celebrate, I guess Christians, I should say it this way, Christians don't celebrate the Passover. But rather, we are told, as Ricky was highlighting earlier, to partake of the Lord's Supper. You know, Christ is now our Passover, and we remember his sacrifice, Acts 20 and verse 7, on the first day of the week, by the breaking of bread, by the drinking of the fruit of the vine, and that's how we remember him. But as far as a religious holiday in the Bible called Easter, there really is not one. Again, in your King James, only in the King James translation, and I think most other translations have fixed it where it's exactly translated Passover. In the King James translation, you find Acts 12 verse 4 says Easter, but the actual Greek word means Passover. That's what it meant. I hope that's been helpful to you.
If anything, what we do is we celebrate Easter, as they would put it, every week.
The Passover.
Yeah.
Or, if you will, the Lord's Supper.
Yeah, yeah. And so a lot of times that's their whole purpose of the religious folks that celebrate that. It's not supposed to be an annual thing. It was weekly. And along that line, here's a question that has just come in. What churches in the area have communion every week like we're supposed to do? And do you have a list? Well, first of all, I don't have a list at all because the Lord wants his churches to be completely autonomous. They're not supposed to be any organization bigger than the local congregation. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, talking to the leaders of the flock there, they're called elders in verse 1. And then in verse 2, he says, feed or pastor the flock of God which is among you. So their oversight is limited to only that flock, just like regular flocks of sheep and shepherds operating in the Middle East. Every flock is completely independent. And so that would be the way that God set up his church. And so as far as groups of churches or a list of who does certain things, well, all we can do is just look and see. Now, all I could actually answer you there is that we do simply because we're trying to be a church that is doing exactly what our head says, which is Christ, because he's the one in charge. And so he tells us to do this. They did it like that, and so we're going to do that. And we are in the Goose Creek area. If you want more information on that, you can call the 553-5157, and we'll be glad to get you material about us and what we're doing. But what we want you to be doing is not necessarily comparing churches, but looking to see what God says and how we can show ourselves approved unto him. And that's what will be acceptable to God. To be part of his church, not some churches that happen to be doing, you know, partially some things that may be right. And so I know that sounds kind of evasive, but we're wanting you to show yourself approved to God. And the only way to do that is for us to yield to what his word says on every point, including that communion. It includes the kind of worship that the Bible talks about. Let me just give you another point about that in John 4:24. God says, it says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And I emphasize that word, him, because that lets us know that worship is something that's supposed to be done to God. However, too many worship services, as they're called or termed or described today, are actually nothing but events for people to be entertained by. There are groups up front that are entertaining, and then there are people in the pews that are being entertained. And the truth of the matter is, all of us are to be the worshipers, and he, God, is to be the worshipped. And so our focus should be entirely upon him, which includes what he said here about communion. And so that is supposed to be entirely focused upon him. Hopefully that's helpful to you. If you want more information on that, just ask for it when you call 553-5157. 553-5157. It's time for us to take our next break. And while we are at break, keep the questions coming in. And we've still got one on deck here from Ben about the yoke of bondage spoken of in Galatians 5 and verse 4. So stay tuned for that. But while we're at break, continue to call in your questions. And we will be glad to let the Bible speak. 553-5157 for the Bible Correspondence Course. for your questions to be called in. The voice line is 308-9564.
Go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. That is the number here at the station, 308-9564. We have a text line. That text line is 725-9283, 725-9283. During the break, you've heard about our Bible Correspondence course. We want to encourage you to take advantage of that. Even prior to going to break, we reiterated how important it is to take advantage of that course. That number is 553-5157. 553-5157. We have a couple of questions here, so we'll get to that in just a few moments, but we want to encourage you to right now to go ahead and call in your question, 308-9564.
We have Ben calling in this question. He wants to know, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, what is the yoke of bondage? Well, let's read the passage. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty which is Christ has made us free. By which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. There's the passage. Now let's look at the context. And the context goes all the way back to chapter 3. It is discussing our relationship as New Testament Christians, as we are trying to do what Christ's law says, to the Old Testament. Because, you see, there were a lot of these first century Christians were formerly Jews, but now they are seeking to serve the Christ as the Messiah. And so chapter 3, beginning with verse 15, all the way through chapter 5 and verse 4, we see this discussion unfolding. And so we can see here very clearly that the yoke of bondage, he refers to, for example, in chapter 3 and verse let's see here, verse 23, it says, before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law. So you see the parallel there, kept under guard by the law, a confinement. And then it goes on, kept, and there again, that word means confined for the faith, which would afterwards be revealed. And so there it refers to that law as a confinement. Well, in chapter 5, verse 1, as a yoke of bondage that held them captive till Christ should come. But now once Christ has come, it goes there in that same context. It says, after faith has come, verse 25, this is 3:25, you are no longer under the tutor or schoolmaster, Old King James says. And so that law was a schoolmaster, a truant officer, a tutor to bring them to Christ. And once we're in Christ, we're no longer under that tutor, that schoolmaster, that yoke, that bondage. And then when you get to chapter 5, where your question is from, he says in verse 4, he says, you have become estranged from Christ, or divorced, separated from Christ. Who? You who attempt to be justified by law, the Old Testament laws in the context here. It says, you who attempt to be justified by that. You are fallen from grace. So the yoke of bondage was that Old Testament law that the Jews lived under that brought them to the point where Christ could come through their seed, Abraham's seed, and become the Messiah. And now once we are in Christ, we are no longer under that yoke of bondage. We become children of God through that seed of Christ, and thus we are children of God. Of God. And so that's also Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Hebrews chapters 8, 9, and 10. Romans chapter 7. There's a lot in the Bible about this. And so we now are to be under covenant with Christ, not the law of Moses. Thank you so much, Ben, for your question. Hopefully that's been helpful to you. Again, the number is 308-9564. Nate?
Yeah, we have a text that came in, last three digits, 609. It says, how about the person who dressed skimpy to make a person lust after them? And I guess the question is, you know, is that right or is that wrong? When we look in the scriptures, godly people would not dress in such a way. Now, how do we know that? Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 9, in like manner also that women adorn themselves. Adorn carries the idea this is the way they dress. They need to adorn themselves in modest apparel. All right, so it has to be modest dress. He says with propriety and moderation. So there's a sense of, that there's a dress that is proper. And then he goes on to say, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. And so we have to dress, and this would apply to everyone, we have to dress in such a way that we demonstrate what is proper for godly people who are professing godliness and good works. And so before I walk out my home, I need to make sure that I'm dressed in a way that is proper, that is modest, that has, you know, again, this idea of moderation. And so that's the encouragement from the scripture. Very good question for us. The join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. 308-9564. That is the number here at the station.
And if you want to enroll in the Bible Correspondence Course, that number is 553-5157. And by the way, it is free. And you can study this course at any time you want to. As after you get it, we'll send it in the mail to you tomorrow. And what's good about this is if you're a night owl, you can take that and study it in the middle of the night when you can concentrate the best. Or if you're a morning glory, you get up, you know, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, then you can study it at that time. You can, it's at the convenience when you might have the opportunity to do that. And so we'll send it to you in the mail. And then once you study it, you fill it out, and then you send it back to us where we will in turn grade it and send you the next two lessons in the second mailing. And then you do that, and then once you fill those out and send them back, then we will send you the next three lessons. And thus it's back and forth until you finish the course, and then we'll make certain that you get a nice certificate to show our appreciation to you. That course is free, it's convenient, and by the way, you probably will discover things in God's Word you've never seen before, because most churches today are restricted from telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth, because they must go by the restrictions of their denominational affiliation. The preacher, you might say, well, I've never heard of any kind of restrictions like that. He just teaches the Bible. Well, if there is a denominational name attached to that building, then they must go by that doctrine or that preacher will get fired. And thus, we've got to make certain that we're not going to limit God or put God in a box by a system of belief that man has come up with or restrictions that a group of people have come up with. Studying the Bible for yourself will build your faith. And faith comes from hearing the Word of God. So let's just let us find the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Let's remove the blinders, the wicked one, the devil, the god of this world, has put over the eyes of those that may be religious. Let's seek out the truth for ourselves so that we will really have our own faith and we're not taking anybody's word for it. So go ahead and call 553-5157. And you can enroll in the correspondence course. We'll get it to you in the mail, and it is absolutely free. Again, that number, 553-5157. We're happy to be able to send this to you, and you will be blessed more than you would ever imagine, especially if you're truly a seeker of God and a seeker of truth. So you want to know what God has to say and not man. That number, 553-5157. Now, if you want to call in your question right now, we have time. So don't miss out on getting your question in. 308-9564.
308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. Ricky was just talking about showing yourself a seeker of God. And I got to thinking, what does that look like? A person who is a seeker of God, what kind of behavior do we typically see in a person like that? You know, there's a passage in the Bible, in the book of Matthew, the sixth chapter. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And all the things that it's talking about in that text is clothing and food, and so the things that are needful for the body. But God says, you seek me first. And so as you look at your own life, you know, what does that look like? Certainly it is a person that makes themselves available to hear the word of God. So the very fact that you are tuning in to hear this broadcast and searching the scriptures, that absolutely suggests that you are a seeker of God. Maybe you're the type of person that asks a lot of questions, because that's what a seeker looks like. One that asks questions to try to make sure that some of the things that they've been taught, some of the things that they've heard, is in line with what the Bible says. Maybe you are a reader of the Scriptures, and so you spend a lot of time reading the Bible. Well, that looks like a seeker as well. And maybe you go and you visit places just to see whether or not they're teaching the truth in your effort or in your journey to try to find truth. Again, that's what a seeker looks like. And so you have to ask yourself, when I consider my own behavior, am I really a seeker of truth? Am I a seeker of God? And then as I find truth, do I do what the Bible says in the book of James? Am I the type of person that once I find truth, do I become a doer of the word and not a hearer only? And that's what the Bible tells us to be, doers of the word, not hearers only. Again, that's James chapter 1 and verse 22. The person who's seeking after God, as they find truth, as they come to understand that it's truth, then they change their behavior. They begin to do things differently. They begin to walk differently. They begin to live differently. If you were listening to this broadcast and you hear that the Lord's Supper from the Scripture is something that is to be partaken of every first day of the week, then a seeker of God is going to search the Scriptures diligently to make sure that's true, and that they find that it's true, then they're going to change their behavior. That's what a seeker looks like. And so, again, we have an opportunity today to examine ourselves. And no one else gets to examine us but God. You know, God looks at our heart. But there's also this encouragement for you and I to look at our own heart. We get a chance to examine ourselves and say whether or not I'm a true seeker of God. Let us encourage you in that. We can continue to encourage you to call in your questions. Go ahead and call 308-9564. Maybe there's a question on your heart today as you're seeking truth that we can answer for you. 308-9564. We assure you that our attempt to answer your question will not come from us, but from the Word of God. We'll go to God's Word every time. 308-9564. That's the number to call. It is time for us to take, this is in fact our final break. And so if you want to get your question in on today's broadcast, go ahead and call. While we're at break, 308-9564. We'll be right back. 553-5157, that's the number to sign up for the Bible Correspondence Course. Even after the radio broadcast is over, you can still dial that number. You'll hear a message, and then you'll have an opportunity to sign up for the Bible Correspondence Course. We encourage you to take advantage of that. To join us here at the station, and this is our last, probably last 14 minutes or so, if that, go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564 to get your question in quicker. You can just text us. That text line is 725-9283.
We have Kim calling in this question. And Kim, thank you so much. Wonderful question. And I thought, well, I've never seen that verse before, but I actually have it highlighted in my Bible. So Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 1, she wants to know, is there a correlation between this and marriage? Well, it says, at that time, says the Lord, Jeremiah was written during the time when the children of Israel were taken off into bondage, and thus they were in dire straits because of this, many struggles that were taken off as slaves. And so he says, at this time, the Lord says, I will be the God of all families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness, Israel, when I went to give him rest. And he goes on and recounts some of the history of how God had always taken care of them as long as they put their confidence in God. And so that was the main points that he's making there as far as it connected to family. Well, God has always been concerned with the families that belong to his people. And the key to the faithfulness actually is focused upon the family. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning with verse 4, now this is right after the law was recited and given and enumerated as far as Deuteronomy's account. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart, and you will teach them diligently to your children, and talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. And so God is passionate about the every family bringing up their children to love the Lord and to follow the Lord. And so, yes, there is a correlation, because our relationship with God is not just something we do in a church building. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, in the New Testament, there are no church buildings. It is a relationship that is built between God and his people, and that includes the families. And the dads are the ones that are held responsible for bringing up the children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's Ephesians 6 and verse 4. So the extra two passages I gave you was Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9, and in Ephesians 6 and verse 4. And by the way, Colossians 3:21 is the parallel to that. So, Kim, awesome question, and thank you so much for getting us focused on the family. That is a very important point. Thanks, Kim. We hope that's been helpful to you. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak.
Yeah, Ferguson calling in. Ferguson says, how do we know that a church we are part of is following man-made denominations if they are teaching from the Bible? Well, that's just a great question. Because, you know, everyone teaches from the Bible. That is to say, they open the Bible up and they start talking. And we're doing that right now to some degree. And so should I trust a person just because they're teaching from the Bible? And the answer really is no. Because what I need to do is study. God wants you to know what his word says. So my first recommendation is don't sell yourself short, people. Don't begin to think that you can't know God's word. Jesus says in John chapter 8 and verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus says the truth is something a person can know. And so you can know whether someone is misusing or abusing the word of God. And that's where study comes in. And so our encouragement is for you to study. Now, we're happy to study with you if that's something that you're interested in. You can call 553-5157, and we're happy to sit down and study with you. But our studies are all based upon one core element, you studying and looking in the Word yourself and reading yourself and seeing it yourself and coming to understand yourself, because God says you can. And so if anyone's telling you you can't understand it, well, that's just false. You can. And so to me, that's the first place it starts. And then you take, for example, the book of Acts. As you're trying to determine what does a church look like, the book of Acts is the history book of the church and the acts of the apostles, or the actions of the apostles. And so I typically use that to try to see whether or not a group is actually doing what the Bible says. So how can I know whether they're teaching what's true just because they're reading from the Bible? Are they doing what the Bible says? Do they teach what the Bible says concerning salvation? Do they teach Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 as we see what the Bible says? Do they teach what the Bible says in Mark 16:16, Galatians chapter 3? And so as you look at the Bible, what it says concerning what a person must do to be saved, do they teach that? Concerning the Lord's Supper, do they teach Acts 20 and verse 7, 1 Corinthians 11? Do they teach concerning giving, 1 Corinthians 16? And so that's why you have to study to know what God says, so then you can compare what God says to what is being taught and what's being done. I hope that's helpful. But all this is driving you to study all the more and come to understand what God says. And so, again, I make mention that we are happy to help you in that. The Bible Correspondence Course is a good help in that. There's no one coming into your home. If you use the Bible Correspondence Course, you get to study by yourself. You open up your Bible. You read the scriptures for yourself. And so no one's trying to put anything in your head. You get to see whether or not it's there. That's the most important thing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you want to sign up for the Bible Correspondence Course, go ahead and call 553-5157. 553-5157. Join us here at the station with your question, 308-9564.
We are glad to be able to get your question, so go ahead and call in. Marcus, I just got your question, and I'm going to have to say to you, I do not know. I'm going to have to study on this week, so I hope and pray that you will forgive me for putting off your question. His question is, are there female angels? And he references a passage in Zechariah chapter 5. And the truth is, I'm going to have to study on that some more before I try to answer that. And so, Marcus, thank you for your for your question, and I look forward to the study throughout between now and next week, and I will get back to you on that question. Marcus, thank you so much. I really do appreciate that. So I will give some time on it, and Lord willing, we will deal with that on next week's broadcast. Thank you so much. And so we'll look forward to that. I'm looking forward to digging into it myself. Thank you. Again, the number is 308-9564. That is the number to call in your question, the voice line. If you have a question, go ahead and call right now. It's not very often that we'll put off a question like that because many times there are repeat questions from times past, and we've never had that question before, so I'm going to have to study on that before I get back to you on that. Nick, you have a question here?
Yeah, Ben calls in today. Ben has a question from Proverbs 22 and verse 6, which simply says, his question is he talking about a baby or a teenager? The passage says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, Ben, that's a good question. When I think of a baby, I think of, you know, perhaps a toddler, a person that, or one that's still in diapers. And so at that stage of life, they don't have a knowledge, in many cases, of even right and wrong at that point. They don't have a knowledge of much. But it's at the point that they begin to understand right and wrong that that's where the training can actually take effect. But we start training our children seemingly from the very beginning, you know. And so that process of training is not a kind of, I wait until they get to 3 years old before I start trying to train them. You're going to have a mess on your hand. You start really early on, but it's probably once they get past that six-month, seven-month period where they can understand. It has everything to do with their ability to understand, and that's where you start training them. And that training them, according to what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter, I believe it's chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, talks about bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Is that the passage? Yeah, so that God placed that upon the fathers. And so early on, the father should be in the lives of their children, and they should be training them all the way up to through teenage years so that when they are old, they will not depart from the things of God. Ben, very good question.
We are about to reach the end of our broadcast. We want you to know that you can continue for the next few minutes to call in for the Bible Correspondence course. That number again is 553-5157. We're happy to send that to you free of charge. Good thing about that is you can study that any time you want to. We'll send it in the mail to you this week, and then you take it. Don't lose it. Don't just throw it away, but study it. Go into the Word, see what God says, and then not only learn with your head, not only learn with your heart, where it affects your heart, but also put it into action. Be doers of the Word and not hearers only. I don't know how many, as I think you've heard us mention, we have thousands of students. And so those that have studied just with their head to learn the facts, Jack, does not mean their heart's involved. And then once you learn with your head, if it sinks into your heart to where that it does affect you and your belief system and your faith grows to where that you can become doers of the word and not hearers only, that's where the greatest growth occurs. In Matthew 7 and verse 17, it's a matter of being willing to do the doctrine to whether we know whether it's from God or not. Jesus brings this out. If any man wills to do his will, he shall know. And so our hearts have got to be in tune with wanting to do what God says, to be doers and not just hearers, so that we will be able to be blessed eternally with God. So thank you so much, and we hope and pray that you will get the most out of it. And go ahead and call if you have not received it, 553-5157. We're about to reach the end of our road here, but we want you to know that we are honored to have been in your presence and that you have blessed us in calling in your questions, and that we are thrilled to have been able to receive your questions so that we can go into the Bible for those questions. We are honored to be able to see your interest in wanting to find out the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And obviously you are a seeker. Not for physical things, not for monetary things, not for position in life, because those things come and go and have nothing to do with God. But if you're a seeker after eternal things, and that is that you are willing to yield to the Creator's touch as you hear His word and you obediently show your love to Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then you will be blessed in a way that will never be taken away. What we have to do is not only learn, but we've got to find the answers from God's Word, not from church doctrines, not from preachers, not from pastors, family, or friends. But when we see it in God's Word, we are letting the Bible speak.